Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's go now to our monthly slot with Stats NZ. 2023, as we've discussed on the program before, had the lowest number of births registered in New Zealand in 20 years. And indeed, our fertility rates here in Aotearoa hit a record low between 2022 and 2023. The decline reflects smaller average family sizes, an increased rate of couples not having children, and women giving birth later in life. So tonight, joining us to explain how and what we can find out about life in New Zealand through the marvellous medium of statistics, we're joined by Stats NZ Population Insights Analyst Rebecca Hennessy. Rebecca, kia ora, and thanks for joining us on the program this evening.
Kia ora, Emil. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a stat, Rebecca, something that people can take straight to the bank. Where in the country has the highest fertility rate, please?
So when we look at regions, Gisborne actually has the highest fertility rate. And what I mean by fertility rate in this case is the average number of births that a woman would have over her lifetime given current rates, given current information. And Gisborne had 2.3 births per woman, whereas New Zealand was sitting at 1.75 at that time. Data's a couple of years old.
Wow.
And what I think is fascinating there is the decimals get a little bit like, oh, yeah, right, the decimals. But that means if you took 10 women, you'll have 23 births in Gisborne versus only 17, 18-ish for the rest of New Zealand.
That's fascinating. I mean, I know, because I guess the question that I want to ask is why that is, but I suppose that doesn't really fall within the purview of Stats NZ, does it?
Not completely, but we can look at what we do know about the population to tell the story. Mm-hmm. So Gisborne, there's higher proportions of women having children younger. Mm-hmm. So across New Zealand, there's now only 40% of births that are women aged under 30. But for Gisborne, it's just over half.
Wow, that's striking. That's really fascinating. And I suppose, yeah, as you say, reflects wider demographics. All right, let's zoom out a wee bit, Rebecca, and talk about the picture when it comes to fertility rates in Aotearoa over the last couple of decades. Things have been heading pretty steadily in the downwards direction, correct?
Over the last decade or so, they have been, yeah.
Right, but preceding that, what, they've vacillated around a wee bit? What can you tell us about the statistical picture?
Well, what I think is fascinating with births is that the numbers actually haven't changed that much. So in the 1960s, we talk about births being really high, but there were about 65,000 a year. Over the last decade, there's been around 60,000. Last year, it was a bit of a drop. It was 57,000. But it still has stuck around that 60,000 mark. And what's actually changed is the underlying population. And by that, I mean the number of women in what we refer to as the reproductive ages, which is 15 to 49-ish. And that's what's changed those fertility rates. So it's not so much the number of births that's changing, but how the population's changing that impacts how we view the number of births.
Yeah, and that point that you made earlier in terms of the age that people are giving birth by and large, that is a massive determining factor, isn't it? I mean, I remember reading something a few years ago that births to teenage mothers have just dropped precipitously over the past 10, 15 years or so.
Yeah, so the teenage birth rate has hugely dropped. And what's also interesting is that the abortion rate has also dropped at the same time. And so it's showing that there's actually fewer pregnancies. It's not just what's happening there.
Mm. We often talk about mothers, understandably, when it comes to birth rates. But in terms of the age of fathers, do we know whether that has increased at the same rate as well?
fathers are interesting because yes, you see similar trends, but it's also really different. And so for females at the moment, women in their early 30s, that sort of 30 to 34 year old, they're having the highest number of babies relative to the population. Mm. And for fathers, it's the same age group, that 30 to 34. But what's really increased, even more so than it has for women, for fathers, is those older ages. So back in the 80s, the number of births to fathers in their late 30s and early 40s was only half what we're seeing now. Over the last sort of 40 years, it's doubled, the rates have.
In terms of explanation for why fertility rates have been going down, because this is a trend that we are seeing in many countries around the world, do we know why our fertility rates have gone down? Presumably we can't simply ask every woman in the country.
So what we're seeing from researchers, because it's not really something stats analyses itself,
indeed,
but what we're seeing from researchers, and it's seen across a lot of countries, is three key things. And one of the main ones that I really like to actually talk about is access to contraception. Mm. Women have more access to contraception, there's better education on it. It means that they have more control over what's happening. But another one that plays into it is that there's more women in education and paid work. Mm. And so they're having to balance what that means. They're often having children later, which feeds into what we were talking about with the lower fertility rates. And actually the other one that comes up with researchers is there's lower number of infant deaths and children dying, which isn't such a nice thing to talk about. But way back in the day, you needed to have more children to guarantee having adults.
Yeah.
Now, because there's a high chance that your child will get to adulthood, it doesn't have the same impact.
We talk sometimes about, quite often actually, about the baby boom, the post-World War II baby boom. And I'm curious about that and what we know about that, what the factors were that sort of led to that baby boom and whether those factors simply aren't at play in 2024?
While we don't, again, have details that compare the exact things, I think there's just different ways that society view motherhood, having children, all that side of things between the 1960s and now. And I think also, again, if women are starting to have their children later, the biological time that they actually have to have children often means that they'll have fewer, and that's bringing in all of the balances that they have to find being mothers as well, or being parents.
When a baby's born, joyous day that it is, there is, of course, admin to be done, paperwork to be filled out. What sorts of data is actually captured at birth, and where does that go? What happens to it?
So the parents will register a birth. They register it with births, deaths and marriages, who are part of Department of Internal Affairs. And it's really important from stats point of view because it actually tells us about those early stages of our population and what's happening. But registering your baby also means that you can enrol them in preschools or for school. You can enrol them at your doctor's. So it's important from all that side of things. But then we get some really key information that tells us about our society and how the population's changing. Key things are mother's age, where the mother lives, the baby's sex, and the mother and baby's ethnicities. All things that we can use to tell the story of our population.
What happens if you give birth, you know, not in hospital, at home? Like, do you have an obligation to go and tell someone, hello, I a new human being has been added, they are a member of society now?
So we've got a system that covers most aspects. So if a baby's born at home, there's normally a midwife or another medical yep. professional involved,
okay.
and they will send what we refer to as the notification through to births, deaths and marriages, and that lets them know that a baby's been born, and then follow-up can happen with the registration side of things.
Do we know what is expected to happen in the future with birth rates? Do we have projections or anything like that? I suppose it must be very difficult to predict. It's cultural, economic, and society could look very, very different in 10 years to what it does now.
That's right. So what we can do is take the information we have now and use that to project what could happen in the future. And we always try and give a bit of range just to cover those what-ifs. What we actually do is assume what the fertility rate could be. And because it's low at the moment, we do assume it to sit around 1.65 births per woman going forward. It doesn't mean it's going to be 1.65 every year, but it means over the long term, it'll average to around that. We then bring that all together to work out what our population could be. And one of those measures is the projected number of births. Mm. And what I find really fascinating, it comes back to what we were talking about before. It's still projected to be around 60,000 births a year. So we're looking at 55 to 65,000 over the next decade. But in the long term, it's averaging out to 60,000 a year.
60,000, the magic number. Super interesting stuff. Rebecca Hennessy from StatsNZ, thank you so much for coming on and chatting to us today.
Thank you.
And we will check in again with StatsNZ in around about a month's time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.